I'll do. Well, good morning. It's good to see you all out. Yes. Hi, Naomi. She's got a nice loud voice, hasn't she? And it's good to be in the Lord's house today and be with God's people. And now to open the Word of God. So we just praise God for that. So Romans chapter 15, please. And if you got one of these handouts, hopefully you received one as you came in the door. There are some spare ones up the back if you haven't got one. Be able to follow along a little bit there. I might prompt you when there's a spot coming up where you might have to fill in a gap or something like that. We're in Romans chapter 15, looking at the first seven verses of this chapter this morning. Stimulating spiritual growth to benefit one another. So we're looking at that this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you that you've given us the health, Lord, by your grace to be here this morning and, Lord, to worship you, to bring our best to you, Lord, to give our undivided attention to you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you. We have the Word of God, Lord, that's not the words of men, Lord, but it's your words for us to hear today. So we pray, Lord, that you'd quieten our hearts, Lord, and remove any distraction there may be. Lord, your Spirit would empower us to be able to hear, Lord, and also to apply what we hear from your word today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so how do we measure spiritual growth? We've been talking about growing spiritually in the month of January. Good way to start the year, to focus on growing spiritually for the year ahead. And how do we measure spiritual growth? Well, I think the main way we measure spiritual growth is perhaps a little bit unexpected to what we might measure our own spiritual growth. Is it through the amount of the Bible that we read? We are commanded in the Scriptures to be in the Word of God and to read the Bible, and we've seen that over the last few weeks especially, that focus on reading God's Word. Is it church attendance, where we're to come and to be faithful to the Lord and to come and to be with God's people so that we could worship the Lord together as a body, that the Lord's assembled together? Yeah, definitely, I think the Word of God instructs us on doing that as well. Is it on Bible knowledge? Not only we read the Bible, but we know a lot about what the Bible teaches. We know a lot about the Lord and His attributes and His character and what He's done, His works for us. Bible knowledge, I think, definitely is a measure of spiritual growth. Is it the amount that we pray and the time that we spend in prayer? Praying alone in our own the privacy of our home or somewhere else, or together as a church? Definitely, I think prayer is also one of those spiritual disciplines that are all vital and that are all commanded and encouraged in the Word of God. But they're not just alone a measure of spiritual growth, because do you know that we can do each one of those things without really growing spiritually the way the Lord would want us to grow? I think a measure of spiritual maturity, as the Bible clearly teaches, is Christ-likeness. How much are we, as a follower of Jesus Christ, like Him? How much are we like Jesus Christ? So all these spiritual disciplines are vital, but they come and they lead towards, and this is in your notes, coming forth from these disciplines that I just mentioned, which are vital and important, in a spiritually mature believer is a love for a weaker brother. So that's the measure of spiritual maturity that we're going to have a look at this morning from the passage in Romans chapter 15. So coming forth from these disciplines in a spiritually mature believer, to know that we're growing spiritually and we're maturing spiritually, is a believer is a love for a weaker believer, a love for a weaker believer. And Paul teaches on this, not only in Romans here, but also in the First Corinthians chapter 12, and leading on into chapter 13. Chapter 12 is fairly familiar to a lot of us. It's on the body of Christ, and that the body, the church, is made up of many parts, and all of those parts are vital and essential, and they're all used of God so that the body may function properly. And at the end of chapter 12, the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, mentions that we're to strive for the best gifts. So we're to use our spiritual gifts. We're to serve the Lord in the local church. But he says, after that, he says, but I want to show you a better way. So then he goes on in chapter 13, we probably know as the love chapter in the Bible. And the Apostle Paul mentions there that even if we have all these spiritual gifts, even if we exercise all these disciplines in our life, but if we don't do it without love, it is worthless. So we see here that a true measure of spiritual growth is our love and the way in which we sacrificially love others, just as Jesus Christ did. We're going to look at the example of Christ in point number two in our three-point message this morning, but let's examine Romans chapter 15 and learn how to stimulate spiritual growth in the local church that will benefit one another. Okay, so this passage tells us that all believers are not at the same level of spiritual growth. We can see that straight away as we begin reading this chapter 15 here, that not all of us even gathered here this morning are at the same level of spiritual maturity, the same level of Christ-likeness. Now, we notice that because in verse 1 it says strong, it mentions the strong and the weak. This is referring not to physical strength, of course, but it's referring to those that are strong in the faith and those that are weaker in the faith or weak in the faith. So there is a difference there within a congregation, and this was present in the church at Rome, because this is who Paul's writing to here, the believers that were assembled together in a local church in the city of Rome. So there was that difference there. There were believers that were stronger in the faith, more mature, and then those believers that were weaker in the faith. And I want to, from the start of this message this morning, let us remember that this is normal. This is normal in a local church assembly. We're not all expected to be at the same level of spiritual maturity, especially when some of us may have trusted Jesus Christ 50 years ago, or maybe some of us have only done that over the last year or so. It's not expected that we're all to be at the same level of spiritual maturity. So Paul here, in some ways, in Romans chapter 14 especially, is correcting an error that we may think that just because we have a level of spiritual maturity, we should expect everyone else to be at that same level. The Apostle Paul mentions here that there is a difference in spiritual maturity, and especially in a comprehension or an understanding of spiritual truth between one another. So in chapter 15, Paul goes on to explain how believers of all levels of spiritual maturity need to continue growing. So yes, we accept that there's differences. Yes, we need to acknowledge that. And as we grow spiritually, I think we sang in a few of those hymns that part of that spiritual growth is having humility. And we realise as we grow spiritually that we would, as that growth process happens, that we would become more humble. And we realise that just because we're growing spiritually doesn't mean we're any better than anyone else that hasn't grown as much as what we have. So we accept that there are differences, but we don't accept that we should stay at the level of Christ-likeness that we're at. The Lord and through the Word of God teaches us that we're to aim at growing more Christ-like every day. And we're going to look at in our third point a little bit later on that we're all still learning. Even the oldest here is still learning. And I finished school probably 25 years ago and I went to university and everything like that. But as a believer, I am still learning and I will until the day I die. And then, when we're in glory with the Lord, we'll still be learning more about him for all eternity. So we're still learning, we're still growing. So let's look then at the three ways in this passage that the Apostle Paul shows us that will stimulate spiritual growth within a local church that benefits one another. The first way is, and this is in your notes here, supportive environment amongst believers. A supportive environment amongst believers. So I'm going to use this little plant here as a little bit of an object lesson today to help to visualise and illustrate some of the spiritual truths that we're talking about today about growing spiritually and stimulating growth. Because very much a plant like this has had stimulation to grow, and there's various factors that influence the growth of this plant, as does the growth within a believer in the local church. So first of all, I want to, in this matter of supportive environment amongst believers, I want us to note in this plant here, this is a seedling that Daniel got from school probably about 4 or 5 weeks ago. So when he received it from school, it was only about that big and it was about as thick as a shoelace. So it was pretty, it wasn't very, it was a young seedling and things like that. So I transplanted it into this pot here because he got it in a little tube pot. Anyway, I transplanted it in here. And the first thing we need to see is that the soil that's in this pot here provides support for the seedling to grow in. Without a good soil, there's a lot of soil around here which is a bit sandy. It's not very supportive, not very good for growth. And we have to select an appropriate soil and provide that soil which is full of nutrient, which is solid enough together to give the plant stability so that it can start to grow and to promote growth. You also notice here I actually put one of these little stakes in for the plant. Main reason being Wonthaggi is a windy area. And you would have experienced that yesterday. This plant has been outside. It hasn't been inside. It's been outside in the garden. And when we first planted it, it was very thin, as I said, and not very strong. So I provided this stake here to provide support. There's little bits of string here. The first bit of string's way down here where it started, and then I had to go higher and higher up there. But that's there to provide support, and especially support during the windy times where the plant could have fallen over and died and not made it. So it's the same with a believer as well in the spiritual life, especially a new believer or a spiritually immature believer or a young believer. But all of us need a supportive environment. Every single one of us here that know Jesus Christ as Savior need a supportive environment, just like this plant did, to be able to grow. And Paul uses two important words in verses 1 and 2, if you look in the Bible with me, Romans 15. Verses 1 and 2, he uses two important words to be able to support the believer. The first one we're going to look at is in verse 1, which is the word bear, to bear. He says that those that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And then the second word is the word edification, or to edify at the end of verse number 2. So the word bear here has the idea of to lift or to support. It's not the idea of bearing up with someone or bearing with somebody, like putting up with somebody. That's not the idea of this word here. The idea is more of one of support, that you carry a weight or you carry the person and help them, help support them. Yeah, and this is the idea that Paul has, that the stronger person, and I often do this with Naomi when we're walking around town. She is fairly small, she's only young, and she can walk further than she used to be able to, but because I've grown more and I'm stronger than what she is, when we walk around a lot, after a while she says, "Daddy, I want to go on your shoulders. Can you lift me up?" So what I'll do is, because I can still make the distance and I'm stronger, what I'll do is I'll lift Naomi up and put her on my shoulders, because she's not as strong as what I am. She's getting tired. And that's providing support for her. And that's in the same similar way that we as believers provide support for one another. Those that are stronger are able to endure and are able to help provide support for one that's weaker. So this is Paul's mention here. This isn't a command to bear one another. It's not it's not mentioned here as a command, but it is something that Paul logically proceeds from what he's written about the differences within the local assembly. The command is found in to edification. This is a command here in verse number 2. So the second word here that Paul mentions is this word to edify. What does this word mean? Well, this word is a word that comes from an architectural background. So if you know anything about architecture, it's talking about buildings or structure. And it's really related to the building up of something, to be able to make a strong structure, a structure that will not fall apart. So this word here, edification, is really relating to, and this is the gap in your notes, to build up. This is what this word means. It's to build up. And this is what God wants us to do with one another, is to build one another up, to provide that supportive environment in the church, to be able to build each other up, to give us the support that we need to grow and to be the person that God wants us to be. And it's an important note for us to remember as we grow spiritually, as we become more Christ-like, that we grow to be a benefit to other people. We grow in the faith, we grow spiritually to be a benefit to other people. that's what it says in verse number 2 here. It says, let every one of us please his neighbour for his good to edification, to build him up. So it's for his good. And it, we're not talking here about pleasing people just because we want a pat on the back or something like that. We're talking about pleasing people because we're trying to encourage them. We're trying to support them and help them to grow. And that's what the word in here means here. Let's read verses 1 and 2 so we're reminded of what these words say. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbour for his good to edification. So notice here in the first three verses of this passage, including these two here, that the words please not yourself are mentioned. So as a believer, we still have problems in our lives which are related to selfishness. And Paul is really speaking to us in this passage about the matter of being selfish. And at times, we can be selfish and not be looking out for other people. And what Paul's saying here is to help provide a supportive environment for one another, we need not to be selfish, we need to be selfless, and to look to other people and see how we can build them up and provide the support that they need. Here, not for ourselves. We don't read the Bible and go to church and grow in the Lord just for ourselves. It's good that we grow, but it's not just for us. Do you know when we grow spiritually, the Lord wants us obviously to be part of a church, and we are, and then to benefit other people because we're growing spiritually, to encourage them, to provide support. So edification, that building up, is like the fertilizer that I put in this plant. When I first planted this seedling, I put fertilizer on the bottom in the soil to make sure that there was that nutrient there to build up this plant, to give it that acceleration, that promotion of growth, that stimulus of growth that it needed. And without the fertilizer, it takes longer to grow. And it's the same, isn't it, in the body of Christ, as we together, without that encouragement, without that building up of one another, it takes longer for each one of us to grow. So that's what Paul's encouraging us first of all here, that will stimulate spiritual growth, is that we would encourage one another, we would build each other up, provide the support that's needed to promote growth. The second thing that we see here in verse number 3 and verse number 5 is that we need exposure to the sun. Exposure to the sun. Very much so, this plant here, this is a sunflower plant, and this plant here has been out in the sun. It's been exposed to the sun. If we put a plant like this or any sort of plant in the cupboard or in the dark, it will not grow. It will get sick. It will turn yellow. It will shrivel up. And often it dies away. It doesn't grow. If it does grow, sometimes it grows, it will be very, very stagnant and very slow. But because this plant's been out in the sun, and at this time of year, there's plenty of sun that's out there, it's looking fairly healthy, as you can see here. And it's the same for us as well. If we're out in the sun, it's good for us, isn't it? Especially at this time of year, we've got plenty of sun. We can go down the beach, if you like to go down the beach and walk along the beach. We can go out in the garden. We can walk around the block in the sun, and it's good for us. They recommend that we get out in the sun. But the type of sun that we're talking about here that we need to be exposed to is not the sun of the UV rays. The sun that we're talking about is the sun, Jesus Christ. For the believer, the most important thing that we're exposed to is the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we can't be exposed to Jesus Christ physically. He's not around on this earth physically amongst us, but we're going to look at a little bit in a little time how we expose ourselves, how do we get that time with Jesus Christ. So every believer, and this is in your handout that you got, every believer needs constant exposure to the Son, Jesus Christ. Christ put aside his own interests for us. So there's some gaps there. Christ put aside his own interests for us. We need to gaze upon Christ. Then we can serve others and edify them. Like Jesus, we will be occupied with a ministry to others. And this is so true As we read through the Gospels, we see Jesus constantly being thronged with people. And what did he do? He didn't just say, go away, you know, get out of here. I don't have any time for you. He ministered to those people. You read accounts of Jesus constantly ministering to the sick, constantly ministering to those that were demon-possessed, constantly ministering to those that had spiritual problems, constantly ministering to his disciples, all the time giving to others, and then ultimately ministering to everyone on the earth by giving his own life as a ransom on the cross. Jesus Christ, if we expose ourselves to him, if we gaze and look at him, we will see then how we can edify and build up others. So the Apostle Paul now goes on and looks at this supreme example of Christ. Let's read verses 3 and 5. For even Christ, see, after verses 1 and 2, Paul talking to the believers in the church there, now he mentions the example of Christ. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee, that's God, fell on me. That's referring to Jesus there. Verse 5, now, this is Paul's prayer. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. At the end of verse 5 there, that really means after the pattern or after the example of Jesus Christ. What Paul's prayer was that God would enable these people to be of one mind so that they would be like Jesus Christ and they would follow Jesus' example. And that's what we need also for us, to stimulate spiritual growth amongst us to benefit one another. So to grow spiritually together, each believer needs to spend time looking at Jesus. We need to be looking at Jesus. I've got some verses in your notes here, and I'll just read those verses out for you. You can look at them at home when you look at this maybe later on. But in Luke chapter 10, we read, Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered with much serving. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, one thing is the priority, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. Matthew 11:29, Jesus' invitation. These are the words of Jesus speaking here to us. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of Christ, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. That's Christ's invitation to us. 1 Peter chapter 2, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. That's great. Christ has left us an example. But the end of that verse says that, with the purpose, we should follow his steps. So as we look at Christ in the Scriptures, as we look at the New Testament in particular, as well as the Old, we will see what Christ has done for us and what he did, and we can follow his steps in how he followed the Lord for his will. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, which was mentioned this morning in one of those hymns as well, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. As we gaze upon the Lord, we'd have his mind. How do we have exposure to Christ? Well, I'm glad you asked. I knew you were going to ask that question. Maybe you're asking it in your minds right now, but I think we probably know the answer. But I'm going to encourage you this morning and mention it again because we need reminding, don't we? We need reminding. So I'd encourage you this morning, if you haven't already, this year to start reading through the Gospels. Now, the whole Bible is about Christ, the Old Testament and the New, and there's no doubt that we could find in every book of the Bible something that relates to Jesus Christ. But I want to encourage you especially, if you haven't already, to start reading through the Gospels, because it is so important, because that intense account of the life of Christ, the character of Christ, the deity of Christ, the love of Christ and his compassion will help us to be able to look upon him and to learn from him, to learn of him. So on the back of your notes you've got there, I've provided you with a plan, a New Testament gospel reading plan that goes for 46 weeks. You can take as long as you want, but every week there's a chapter or two from the gospels, and within that time you would have read all four gospels, and each week it focuses on a particular account of what Christ was doing or who Christ is, whatever the subject matter is. His birth, obviously, is in the beginning, and then he goes on in his ministry, and then his death at the end, and his resurrection. So I'd encourage you to get into that. Week one is not necessarily January 1, even though we love January 1 because it's like a new beginning for us. We can start week one this week or next week. So I'd encourage you to spend that week each time in the Gospels, as well as the Psalms, as well as other passages of Scripture that you might be already doing in your devotions, because we do see the Lord Jesus Christ clearly within the Gospels as we read that. So in your notes there, there's another sentence with a gap here, and this is a truth that we need to remember as well, that our relationships with others are better when we're exposed to Jesus Christ in the Word. And I don't know about you, but I want better relationships. I want better relationships with those people that live in my home. And I'm sure they want me to be more Christ-like within the home. And I want better relationships with one another here in church as well as everyone out in the world. But we see that the way we have those better relationships is as we're exposed to Jesus Christ and learn from him. So this leads us on to the third way to stimulate growth. So we've seen two ways so far. The supportive environment, just like this plant here, has a supportive soil to be in, and it has the stake holding it up. We're to provide support for one another. And secondly, the exposure to the sun. You know, the sun makes photosynthesis work and all that stuff, and it grows. Like we, as we're exposed to Jesus Christ, we grow and we become more Christ-like. But thirdly, we want to see that without a particular thing, this plant would die. This plant would shrivel up. As we know that, especially at this time of year, plants need water. And that third thing that we're going to look at from Romans chapter 15 is the water of the Word. We need the water of the Word, the drinking from God's Word, to stimulate spiritual growth. And not only to stimulate spiritual growth in our own lives, but that spiritual growth may be a benefit to one another as we share and as we grow in the Lord. Just like this plant here. I've been watering this plant from the day I planted it. Because of the time of year, especially, but it is very dry at this time of year. Every now and again we get some rain, which is good. I don't have to go out and do it. But basically, I had to discipline myself to go and to look at the plant, to look after it, to water it. If I didn't care a bit about the plant and didn't water it, well, it might not be as healthy as it looks now. You can see the green leaves and everything like that. It's doing quite well. When we first planted it, it had yellow leaves. So we can see here that with the water, it helps it to grow. And it's the same with us as believers. With the water of God's Word, it stimulates growth. We become more Christ-like. We are more interested in other people and not so much ourselves as we're in the Word of God. So in what ways does God's Word stimulate spiritual growth? Well, I've included two passages from the Psalms there in your notes there. I'd encourage you to read those when you get home. They're really good passages on having that desire to seek the Lord and to be in his Word. But in what ways in Romans chapter 15 do we see here that God's Word stimulates spiritual growth, is essential for spiritual growth? Well, first of all, let's read verse 4, Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So this verse here is probably a familiar verse to most of us, but is drawn and just read and memorized by itself without even taking notice of the surrounding context. And today I wanted to preach from this message as the Lord led, to be able to understand that the context of this verse about the Scriptures and the benefit of the Scriptures, the great health that the Scriptures bring to a believer, is it's in the context of a church, one another, and being a support and being a blessing to one another and helping one another grow, and how it relates to our relationships with one another. So we can see this here, and we're going to go through this, and hopefully as we've looked at this passage so far, we can keep in mind as we look at verse number 4 and mention a couple of things here that we would keep it in mind with our relationships that we have with one another. How does God's word stimulate spiritual growth so that it would be a benefit one to another? Okay, first of all, we note learning. Learning. It's mentioned here in verse number 4, learning. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Every believer's learning. We're all learning. We might have finished school long ago, but we're all learning as a believer, as a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ. As children of God, we are all learning. We are all receiving instruction from the Bible. We never get to a point where we can say we know it all, or I am super spiritual, or I am like Jesus and I'm not going to become any more like him. We can never reach that point on this earth. We will still continue to grow and to be more like Jesus Christ. And this occurs by reading the Word of God and by studying it and by hearing it, by being in church, listening to it, and all those other methods that pastors already mentioned, like the MP3s, you can listen to the Bible on tape, and all these methods of taking in God's Word, drinking God's Word like we drink water, and it's necessary for our health. So God's Word is the instruction manual and filter that we need to relate to others the way Christ wants us to relate to. So the way in which we're going to stimulate spiritual growth one with another is to be able to be in the Word of God, and it shows us how we're to relate to one another. One writer has said that Scripture demonstrates not that God's way is ever an easy way. The Bible never promises that when you're saved, everything is going to be easy. sometimes it's hard, and God's way is hard. But it does say that in the end, God's way is the only way to everything that makes life worthwhile in time, in this life, and in eternity. So God's way is the way that we ought to go. And how do we know God's way? We know God's way by reading the Bible, God's instruction manual for us in how we're to relate one to another, as well as other things as well, not just limiting the Word of God just to be an instruction manual. God's Word obviously is his revelation to man of who he is and what he has done for us in Christ. So the Scriptures instruct us in, what do we learn? What does the Bible teach us? What are we learning from the Bible? First of all, we notice here in verse number 4, patience. Patience. Oh, put your hand up if you need patience. We all need patience. Now, this word patience here is not initially maybe the word that you're thinking of, which we mean we can wait. We're patient and we can wait for things. It's not really that sort of word. This word patience here is a word that means that we can cheerfully endure, that we have endurance, we have steadfastness. We cheerfully endure, have that endurance that the Lord can give us, fortitude. And this is a mark of spiritual growth, if we have this patience or this endurance. And in your notes, there's another sentence here that I've got which really sums up this endurance here. And this is what all of us desire, I'm sure. It's the ability God gives us to cope with life. You know, sometimes life is hard to cope with, isn't it? And it's impossible to cope with life without the Lord Jesus Christ, without being in the Word of God. And God has given us the Word of God so that we would learn patience, that we would learn how to cope with life. And the way we cope with life is by being in this book. And then we can cope. And God would help us to have that endurance. And the Scriptures bring stability and constancy in a believer's life. And especially like I mentioned here about the wind and the things that happen in plants, we have winds in our life. We have times of trial and times of struggle where we fail to endure. We fail to remain constant and stable in our walk with the Lord because we often forget, or we often neglect to be in the Word of God. We forget that. We let it go by and we neglect it. But with God's help, as we're in the Word of God, he gives us that stability that we need, that endurance to be able to cope in trials. In James, we read a few encouraging verses related to this. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's it, that endurance there. So as our faith is tried, as we go through testing times, a result of that is that we have endurance. God works endurance. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, the endurance of Job. We remember Job, don't we? Job was a godly man, as we read the book of Job. And we see what happened to Job. Job had everything nearly taken away from him, except for his own life. Well, he still had a wife, you know, but she wasn't really that much good because she really wasn't a very good encouragement to him, was she? She had the wrong reaction. She wanted him to curse God. But Job didn't curse God. Job trusted God because he was a man that was a man of the word. He was a man who wanted to get to know the Lord more and wanted to spend time with him. And because of that, he, even though he lost his family, he lost all his material wealth, all his possessions, and very much so he lost most of his health as well. He was a very sick man in agony. He was able still to be able to say, bless God, bless God. And we know at the end of the story of Job that God showed his mercy and his compassion and enabled Job to grow. And God did that in his life. But Job had to go through that suffering and trial so that he would grow in endurance. And that's what the New Testament tells us about Job. He was a man that was enduring. He was a man who kept his eyes on the Lord. And that's what the Word of God does for us as well. It gives us that patience, that endurance. Secondly, we learn from the Bible not only patience or endurance, but we also learn comfort. And I'm sure most of us here want comfort as well. We want the comfort of the Scriptures, that it provides us comfort. God is the God of all comfort. It says this in 2 Corinthians. And because this book, the Bible, is about God, as we read it, we'll learn more about God and about his comfort and how he can comfort us. Do you know in Psalm 119, verse 50, it says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. And as we look at these things that the Bible, we learn from the Bible, you can see how, as we learn these things, that we can be an encouragement to others. As we learn to endure, as we learn to be stable and constant, that can help other believers as we get to know one another and share these things, as we share the Word of God. As we receive comfort from the Word of God, we can share that comfort with other people so that they would also receive that comfort from the Word of God, from God. So when sorrow and struggles come, which they do come, there is encouragement in God's Word. That's another gap in your notes there. Encouragement in God's Word. David encouraged himself in the Lord. David was being pursued to death. Saul was trying to kill him, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. And we read that the Bible is the place to go to find comfort. And as we read it, the Scriptures, we're able then to comfort other people as well. So many, the comforting thing as we read the Bible is to know that many other men and women have gone through exactly the same thing that you're going through. And that's as we read the account of Scripture in the life of Abraham, the life of David, the life of Joseph, the life of Joshua, the life of whoever that might be mentioned in the Scriptures, we can relate to that. And God has a purpose in that because he wants to instruct us from that. He wants us to learn from that. And we get comfort from that because God has been with those people. He also will be with us as well. So the Scriptures, let's have the viewpoint of Scriptures here, that the Scriptures are an account of how God has interacted with man. That's what the Scriptures are. This is what the Bible is. It's an account of how God has interacted with man. And it's how he interacts with us today. God's still the same God today that he was when the Scriptures were put together. So the Scriptures give us great and precious promises of God that we can all be comforted by. Do you know the Scriptures are a personal love letter from God to you? A love letter. We love reading love letters. I know when Liz and I where you get letters, you get emails as well. Like Liz and I first communicated with an email and that sort of thing because of technology and that. But you know, when we got it, when we wrote letters to one another, great, this is from Liz, that's excellent, and you'd be opening it and all that sort of thing. The house is burning down, but you'd want to read the love letter, you know, because you love that person. So we understand that God loves us, and His love letter for us needs to be read. He wants us to read it. And if we have that delight in the Word of God and we want to read what He has for us today, because we know He loves us, He's sent Jesus to die for us. And we know that as a believer, we know He loves us. We need to read the Bible because He has that for us to grow. Thirdly, hope. As we learn and as the Bible teaches us, it shows us patience and comfort, but also hope, that we might have hope. And we all need hope. This world, in many ways, is a world which does not have hope. There's a lot of negative thinking in this world, that there's no hope, and people don't see a future. But we as believers can see hope. We can have hope because we see Jesus Christ within the pages of Scriptures. And Jesus Christ is what gives us hope. God wants us to hope in the Lord. He doesn't want us to hope in human intuition or human knowledge or human philosophy or human achievement or anything like this, human greatness. God wants us to hope in Him, in Him as God. That's where our hope is to be. And you know what? God wants each one of us to have hope. And God gives you, and this is in your notes here, God gives you the ability to do what He teaches you to do. And that's the hope that we're talking about here as it relates to God's Word. Do you know God gives each one of us the ability to do what He teaches us? What we're learning from the Word of God, God gives us the ability to be able to do that which He wants us to do. It's no good God revealing Himself to us in the pages of Scripture, giving us an example to follow, or showing us how he deals with people in the Word of God and He deals with us. It's no use Him showing us if we can't actually do that in our own lives or follow that in our own lives. So God gives us the ability to be able to do that. And that's the hope that we have, folks. And how does He do that? Well, obviously He uses the Word of God. But in verse 13 of chapter 15, go with me in Romans 15 to verse 13, we see how God actually does that in our lives. He takes the Word of God and He uses the Spirit of God to be able to empower us to do that which He wants us to do so that we can have that hope. Verse 13, now the God of hope, God is a God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. The purpose of that is ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, we don't have hope unless the power of the Holy Ghost energizes us to be able to do or to follow, or to have the faith that God wants us to have as we read the Word of God. It's the Holy Ghost that gives us the power to be able to do that. And praise God, we have that hope, that we have the Holy Ghost indwelling within us if we know Jesus Christ as Saviour. And He, as we read the Word of God, is able to apply that to our lives, and then we can do that which He asks us to do. And we can have that confidence. And that's why we can have hope. That's what hope is. It's to have that expected confidence in God. And we can have that because He empowers us through the Holy Spirit to be able to have that hope. So what a wonderful thing that we learn from the Word of God. Patience, comfort and hope. To have all these things. Do you know what? And I hope you came to church with this mindset. And I got to remind myself as I come to church as well. And when we open the Word of God, do you know, God wants to change you. God wants to change me. And you know how He does that? He does it through the Word of God. And you know what? We can have hope because God can change us. All we need to do is just let Him change us. Read the Word of God and allow Him to change us as we obey the things that He shows us, as we follow the example of Christ, and these things as we read the Word of God. So ultimately, as we grow spiritually and become more like Christ, and as we help one another, that has the ultimate end result of glorifying God. Let's look quickly at verses 6 and 7, and then we're finished. So ultimately, the purpose for us building up the church and for growing, each of us growing spiritually, is that it would glorify God. verses 6 and 7, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. God's glory is in mind here, brothers and sisters. As we grow spiritually, we should always deflect the glory to God. As God builds this church, all the glory goes to Him. So that comes to a point in our lives today. What decision are we going to make this morning? As we've studied Romans 15, just quickly, about stimulating spiritual growth that will benefit one another. What decision are we going to make today? I think if we all wrote on a piece of paper and I asked the question, do you want to be a blessing to someone else in this church? I think all of us would probably answer yes to that question. We all want to help one another. We all want to be a blessing. But sometimes we find that very difficult to do. Sometimes we find it out of our comfort zone to do that. But I think today the Lord's encouraged us through Romans 15 here to see that yes, He intends for us to build one another up, to support one another. He wants us to be all exposed to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, and He wants us to be drinking from the Word of God. And as a result of that, that would build each other up and we would grow spiritually. The Holy Spirit gives each one of us a desire to grow. He does that in our lives. That's something that we haven't put there ourselves, but God's put that in us. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be more like Jesus Christ. And He also wants us to be a blessing to others. But just as it's in your notes on this closing statement here, I just want to read, because we went through Romans chapter 15 from verses 1 to 7 today. But to be a blessing to one another, do you know what we have to do? We have to turn it upside down and start from the watering of the word first, and then up to number one. I'll just read that for you, how I've got it worded here. So, do you know, often we try to grow without first spending time in the Bible. Do you know, often we try to minister to one another without first spending time in the Bible. But as we spend time in the Bible, we learn of Christ. And as we learn of Christ, we put aside our own interests, and then we are better able to support and build up others. See how it's the opposite way around to what as we read it in the Bible? Often we go, oh God, I want to be a real blessing to the people at church today. You know, during the week I want to help people out. And we don't read our Bibles. You know, we forget about Jesus, we live our own lives, and then we wonder why it's so difficult to be a blessing to someone. Can I encourage you this morning, brethren, to go to the Word of God first, spend time with Jesus, and ask Him to give you those opportunities to be a blessing to one another, and they will come as we saturate ourselves in the Word of God, and as we gaze upon Lord Jesus Christ, we will be a blessing one to another. And we will grow spiritually. And we will encourage one another to grow spiritually and build one another up. This is a sign of true spiritual growth as we minister one to another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You, Lord, for the power in Your word. Lord, how You desire us, Lord, to learn from it. Lord, and thank You, You haven't left us alone. Lord, to think about things in our own mind. But Lord, You've given us the word of God to renew our minds. Lord, we desperately need it. Lord, we often turn to ourselves to get comfort, Lord, when we really should be going to Your word, Lord, so we can learn on You, Lord, and see You. We pray, Father, that You would continue to do the surgery that's necessary in our spiritual lives this morning. Lord, encourage us, Lord, that we would get those reading plans that we need to, Lord, this year, and Lord, that You would strengthen us to be able to, Lord, draw from You, Lord, to the necessary strength and the learning that we need, Lord, to be a blessing to those people in our homes, Lord, and especially, Lord, for everyone here in this local church. But we praise You for it. We thank You for You, Your faithfulness towards us, and we praise You for Your comfort, Lord, that You give us through the Scriptures. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.